should you attend the Kentucky Bourbon Festival? Is it worth the money? Of course, that is a loaded question, and there's a lot more to it than that. But I'll break down my experience of it. I'll talk about why or why not I think it's worth the money. I'm going to break down as much of it as I can. What's up, guys? My name is Chris, and you are listening to the Whiskey Noobs Podcast. And as of the recording of this episode, I just got back from the Kentucky Bourbon Festival a few days ago, a little bit less than a week ago. It's still fresh in my mind, and I want to lay out a whole overview of it, like what to expect, and also review of it. Is it worth the money? Did I enjoy it? All those sorts of things. So we're going to talk about all that. Before we get to that, this podcast, the social media content, this is not my day job. It does take a considerable amount of my time. And so if you would like to support the show, please consider leaving a 5-star rating review at no cost to yourself on iTunes or on Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those ratings and reviews are very helpful. And please also considering joining the Patreon page at patreon.com/whiskeynoobs or go to the link in the show notes with the Patreon page is right there. You can click that link or copy it into your browser, and you will be there. You'll be at the Patreon page. Please consider joining to support the show. It makes a huge difference. And for all the patrons who are listening, thank you so much for supporting this show. It really does make a very big difference, and I really want to build a community on there. So that's my quick plug for Patreon. Thank you to all of the patrons. Now, I did go to the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, or I'll probably call it KBF quite a bit throughout this podcast because it's a lot quicker to say KBF. I did go. And I thought it would make a lot of sense to really review it and really talk about what to expect for those who are considering going next year. So let's start off with what the basics here. What's the Kentucky Bourbon Festival? like I hadn't even heard of it, you know, up until, I don't know how long ago I heard of it, but relatively recent history. I mean, I just started this podcast 2 years ago, so 2.5 years ago. So what is it? What is the Kentucky Bourbon Festival? So there's a festival that happens down in Kentucky. This is in Bardstown, Kentucky. So it's a little bit away from Louisville, which is the place that a lot of people have heard of. This is a festival that takes place where they get a ton of brands, a ton of distillers to come around and bring some of their best bottles or maybe just their core lineup. The distillers really, from what I understand, decide what they're going to bring. Some bring really high value bottles. Some bring just run of the mill bottles. They all come and they all give you samples of their whiskey. So you pay a rate to get into the festival. And then you can walk around. You can sometimes talk to the master distillers or the owners of the brands, the CEOs, the founders. A lot of times they are there. I posted some content with some CEOs already. You get to talk to them, which is pretty cool. You get to try their whiskey. And then there's live music going on. There's some smaller activities going on. And there's also a stage where sometimes they'll either have music or they'll have a panel to discuss different things going on in the whiskey world, different trends, different news. And you can go attend some of those different talks as well. There's also a VIP tent if you get VIP tickets. There are specific VIP events, things like that. So overarching theme, in my mind, based on my experience, the Kentucky Bourbon Festival is a festival where you get to go talk to different distillers, some of which are big names, some of which are craft, and you get to try different samples of things, see what it is that you like, what it is that you don't like. A lot of times they'll bring newer stuff that's coming out so you can see stuff that's kind of a new trend, stuff that's coming out, and see if you're going to like it or not like it, and really get an idea for the brands you might like, the brands you might not like. What can you expect? What can you expect from it? What can you expect when you get there? I'll really go in depth about the things going on there, but let me talk about when you get there. There's going to be a pretty long line, and the parking is going to be not amazing, especially if you're parking in the neighborhoods like I did. So there is, you know, street parking there with no meters or anything like that, and you can park in the streets. Some streets are shut down to allow people to walk to and from the festival. This is pretty close to like the center of Bardstown, so it's kind of right there. So you're going to have to find a place to park. It took a little bit of time to find parking, and then there's going to be kind of a long line. If you're in the VIP, you can get in an hour early. So I recommend that if you're in the VIP that you take advantage of getting there that hour early. At least that's how it was this year. They could change things around a little bit next year. And you're going to want to hop in that line. You're going to wait to get in. They have these nice, at least this year, they have these nice little bracelets with, you know, like a fob on it, or like keyless entry where you tap and it bloop, bloop, and then it says it's green and then you're allowed in. So expect that line, expect that parking once you get there. that's kind of what you can expect when you roll up. If you get there with the early VIP hour, the reason that I would say to take advantage of it, especially if you've paid for the VIP tickets, take advantage of it because there will be lines for distillers. There will be distillers rushing to get through the lines and to try to talk to everybody in line so that you might not get as much time with them. If you get there in that VIP time, then you at least have the benefit of really being able to talk to them. So if that's the type of thing that's important to you, I recommend taking advantage of it. I'm not saying whether or not the VIP is worth it. I did not buy the VIP. I won't talk about whether or not it's worth it because I don't feel like I can. But I will say, if you have VIP tickets, if you have the tickets that allow you in there early, do that, in my personal opinion. So that's what you can expect when you roll up. That's the type of things you can expect at face value from Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Let's talk about what types of distillers go to KBF. So there were, of course, distillers that you would know. Buffalo Trace was there. Angel's Envy was there. Heaven Hill was there. You might not even recognize Heaven Hill by name, depending on how into bourbon you are. But Heaven Hill, you might recognize Elijah Craig. You might recognize Larceny. A lot of really big names coming out of Heaven Hill. That's just a couple. But Heaven Hill was there. Buffalo Trace was there. Four Roses was there. Maker's Mark, I believe... I saw Maker's Mark there. Woodford Reserve was there. Did I say Angel's Envy already? A lot of big names. So you can expect to see bigger names there. Bardstown was there. And then there's also a whole side that's the craft side. And I really like this. I just posted a video about this. They section off this side for craft distillers to be in. I don't know what the criteria is. I don't know if it's just like you're self-declaring as a craft distiller. I'm not sure. But it was very cool because then you can see kind of up-and-coming brands, brands that you maybe haven't heard of, and you can try their stuff and see if that's a brand you're going to want to support in the future. So I like that you get that good mix. You get those mainstream brands, and you get those craft brands. I also like that they're in different areas because it really it allows you to say, I want to focus on craft stuff, or I want to focus on the big names, either or. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but I'm saying a lot of times that's two different types of people, or that's people that could be the same type of person, but looking for two different experiences. And so I like that they had that. I thought that was really nice that it was kind of two separate areas, so you could go check them out separately. Next to the craft distillers area, they also had a small section that was kind of like what I would consider a marketplace or like a festival in the traditional sense, like a market festival where there was people selling whiskey related things. I believe there were some shirts there, cocktail smokers. I didn't spend too much time in that section. There was definitely like a little coffee truck or trailer there selling coffee that was like aged in whiskey barrels. So some of that type of stuff, but largely the majority of the festival is taken up by the distillers themselves, the tents that have brands of whiskey in them. So that's who you can expect to see there. Anybody from those big brands that I mentioned to smaller brands, some of the smaller brands that I saw there. Penelope, I think, is becoming a pretty big brand, but they were still on the craft side. Blue Note, similar situation. Broken Barrel, you might remember my episode with Seth from Broken Barrel. He was there. There were some that I hadn't even heard of before that I'm going to try to think of the name of on the spot here. Neely Family. I hadn't heard of that one. People seem to like it. There were a few brands I didn't get the chance to try, and I want to mention that I didn't get the chance to try them because I was driving myself. So I couldn't, I was really, really being careful about being sober. So there's a lot of stuff I didn't get to try, but there's always at the store or at the bar or next year, hopefully, God willing. So there were small distillers that I hadn't really heard of. Three Chord I had heard of, but I hadn't had before. They were there. Lucky Seven, I hope I'm remembering. I think it's Lucky Seven. I hadn't heard of them before. I got to try them there. Red Line, I hadn't heard of them before. So there's a lot of small up-and-coming distilleries there, which was really cool. And it was really cool that they were all over on that side. So you could really hop from craft distiller to craft distiller. And a lot of times with those craft guys, you got a pretty good chance of talking to either their master distiller, their master blender, a CEO, a lot of times because they're smaller brands. So I thought that was very interesting as well. So all these brands are there. You're overwhelmed. You're seeing all these tents. How does it work? So here's how it worked this year. This is all based on my experience this year. You get into the festival with your ticket, your bracelet. That's the only way in. And then you go from distiller to distiller, tent to tent, wherever you want to go. You can go to the main stage, watch some live music, watch whatever panel is going on. And you ask for samples, and you go up, and they're, at least this year, they weren't keeping any track of it. Distillers were more than happy to let you try every bottle sitting at the table. They want you to know what their stuff tastes like. So you go from distiller to distiller. You might have a mini Glencairn. There are mini Glencairns that are part of your ticket with your purchase. At least this year there were. Once again, I'm going to say that a lot. At least this year there were. And you can take that mini Glencairn, though, and you can have them fill that, and then you could like rinse it out with some water if you wanted. Or you could, they, a lot of them had little plastic cups that they would put it in. One that stood out, Milam and Green, they actually gave away glasses, at least the day that I was there. It might have been a limited amount or something, but they gave out glasses with the tasting. So I thought that was very cool. And that was another distiller that, to my knowledge, was a little bit smaller, but I think they weren't on the craft side. So I thought that was very interesting. And maybe, you know, come to think of it, the non-craft tents were a little bit bigger. So maybe it's just a matter of cost. I don't know for sure. But yeah, so you can go from tent to tent. They're going to give you plastic cups to drink out of, or you can pour that into your Glencairn, or you can have them pour directly into your mini Glencairn, whatever, you know, your preference is. You can try a lot of their main lineup. You can try specific things that they picked specifically for the festival, which we're going to talk about a little bit more. You can try, you can even go back. I don't know if this would be frowned upon, but they're not keeping track. So like you could try something and say, I really like that, and then go back later and say you want to try it again. Most of them aren't really going to care. They're there to advertise their whiskey to you. So just keep that in mind. And that, to me, was mind-blowing. So I didn't really know what to expect going into this. And I thought maybe it was going to be like you get a certain amount of samples per hour or something. But you just go in and you just try whatever it is that you want to try. So to me, that's a very big benefit, especially because maybe there's something that you like that you're like, I want to try that again and really make sure that I like it, or I want to show this person who's here with me, stuff like that. I mean, that was really cool. So I like that part of it. That's what you can really expect about how to go about doing the tasting. Sometimes lines will form, so I should mention this. Sometimes you're not just walking up and talking to the distiller. A lot of times, especially the more popular tents, they're going to have a little bit of a line. You got to kind of wait to get up, grab your sample, say whatever you want to say to the person up there, if it's a distiller or if it's a representative that you want to talk to. You can ask questions, absolutely. I was asking a lot of questions. So you can ask questions, you can talk to them, and really just enjoy the whiskey and the people and the distilleries. In general, that was how it worked. And so it was very, once you're in the festival, free for all, try whatever you want, walk up to whoever you want, talk to whoever you want. Those probably should have been whomevers. I'm not sure. I always forget who versus whom, but you get the idea. A lot of things going on that you were able to do, and a lot of sampling going on. If you're driving, I hope I don't have to say this, but be careful. It sneaks up on you. It's hot out there. It's Kentucky in September, so it's still pretty hot some of the days, and you're drinking whiskey. So stay hydrated. Stay eating something, having food in your belly, and don't drink and drive. But let's talk about what else is going on there. So I feel like that all is the obvious. That all is the stuff that you would expect if you've looked up the tickets. It's just the things. It's face value what the festival is. There's also food trucks outside that you can go and you can get food from, things like that. I feel like that's all pretty expected. But what else is going on there? So one of the things that I like to mention is that you get to meet distillers. I think that's very cool. A lot of times the distiller will be there or a brand rep will be there, but either way, you're meeting somebody from the brand who can give you more background. And I found that to be a ton of fun. I was asking all the nerd questions. I was nerding out. You get to ask them, you know, what it is that you're drinking, ask them where it came from, what's so special about it. My favorite question was to walk up and say, what's the best thing here? Why should I drink one of these bottles? I didn't say it so aggressively. I don't know why I just said it so aggressively. But I'd walk up and I'd be like, hey, what's your favorite here? And why should I try it? Why do you like it more than other ones? And it's kind of cool because you get that kind of sharing experience with the people who are representing the company. So that's a lot of fun to talk to them while you're drinking it, kind of get that experience. Don't hold up the line too much, especially if there's a long line, but you get to really talk to them and have that experience with somebody who can walk you through it even better than I can, because these are people who represent the company. So obviously, if I were to do a tasting, if I were to give you a tasting, I would walk you through it quite a bit, and I would do my research, and I would really walk you through it the best that I could. But these are people who, that is their company, that is their brand, that is what they do. So they can really walk you through it really well, and I loved that about it. I thought it really added to the experience when you go buy a bottle from the store or you get a glass at a bar, unless you have a very knowledgeable bartender. Either of those scenarios, you're not having somebody to walk you through it. And so that really added to it more than I thought it would, which is why I specifically wanted to bring it up, because it added to the experience more than I had originally anticipated it would add to the experience for me personally. Then there's also your favorite content creators there. There were more than I could even possibly name. I'm actually going to refrain from naming anybody because I will feel terrible, because I will inevitably leave somebody out who I enjoyed hanging out with. Your favorite content creators are there. I was there. So if you're listening to this, hopefully that means you like my content and you get to talk to all of us. And I can personally say, from all the content creators that I interfaced with that I was hanging out with, that I was meeting in person for the first time, a lot of these content creators are who you think they're going to be. They're nice. They're fun. They want to talk to you. I personally loved talking to the people who listen to the podcast or who see me on social media, who recognized me. It's great. I want you to have fun. And this is literally about sharing this experience with people. So that's what a lot of us are there for. That is the opinion that a lot of us have about being approached and talking to people. You don't want to forget, don't ever forget that the reason most of us got into whiskey, a big reason of it, is that camaraderie, that friendship, that sharing it with people. And with that, I want to mention, don't ever be afraid to say hi to me if you see me. There were a couple people who seemed a little bit bashful. Totally fine. I am a shy person when I'm not in whiskey noobs mode, especially before I started this. I was an incredibly shy person. So I don't blame you at all for if you were afraid to say hi to me. I'm still afraid to say hi to people that I'm friends with. So I get it. But don't be afraid to say hi to me is my point. I know that sometimes people are like, are you going to be bothering that person, interrupting them? Obviously, like, interrupting is one thing if I'm like talking to a different listener and you just interrupt me and that listener talking. But just saying hi, tap me on the shoulder, saying hi or saying I like your stuff, whatever. Don't ever be afraid to do that, especially if you see me at KBF. I mean, that's what I'm there for. I'm there to see the distillers and enjoy the festival, but also to talk with you guys, to meet you guys in person and get to actually, you know, have an in-person friendship with you instead of just a through the microphone friendship. So don't be afraid to say hi to me. You can call me Whiskey Noobs. If you don't remember my name, that's fine. There are people saying Whiskey Noobs. You can call me Chris if you do remember my name. My friends even call me Chap because my last name is Chapinar. So C-H-A-P, Chap or Chappie. Feel free. Whatever rolls off your tongue in that moment, I just wanted to make sure I put that in there. Don't ever be afraid to say hi to me. I love talking to you guys. That's why I do this. This isn't my full-time job. I'm doing this for fun. For a little bit of money now, but a lot of it is for fun. Shameless plug for the Patreon right there. Just slides right in. Click the link in the show notes if you want to join the Patreon page. Let's move on. So there's a lot of content creators there. You get to talk to them. You get to ask them about their favorite whiskeys and have them recommend it to you. Then you get to go try it on the spot if they're at the festival, which is super cool. Then there's also like small games going on, which was cool. A couple different distillers had like small things where you could win small prizes. So I don't know what the prize was, but Angel's Envy had like a ring toss where you toss it around like an Angel's Envy bottle. Like there's a bunch of bottles and you try to land it on one of them. Green River had one that I played because it was cool. It was like a little coin, like a little Green River coin. I have it somewhere, but not with me. And you would slide it like shuffleboard style and try to get it in the notch of the Green River bottle. So like the way the Green River bottle sat, there's a tunnel underneath. And I'm drawing this out for people who are on the video, but if you're not seeing it, bear with me. Use your mind's eye. The Green River bottle sits like on two nubs. So there's like a void in the center that's like a tunnel underneath the bottle. You slide the coin and try to go under the bottle, which was fun. And I actually got it. I couldn't believe it. And you got like little trinkets. I think I got like a Green River pin. I got that Green River coin, stuff like that. So that was fun. There's little mini games like that going on in at different tents. A lot of them are trying to spruce it up to have something that you remember, like those mini games. There's also, I saw at least one drawing going on. So it was like, hey, I think it was give us your email or scan the QR code and you can get entered into a drawing. That was cool. Some tents were giving away merch. I mentioned Milam and Green were giving away those little glasses. Three Chord was that. This was some of the best advertising I saw all weekend. Kudos to you, Three Chord. If anybody from Three Chord is listening to this, they had a little lanyard with like a little, I want to call it a sock, kind of, but it's not a sock. A koozie is a better word for it. On it, that this koozie would fit the mini Glencairns that the Kentucky Bourbon Festival was giving away. So if you didn't want to carry your Glencairn around or put it in your pocket, I had mine in my back pocket for a lot of the time, you could go to Three Chord, grab it, and you know, try their whiskey out while you're up there, and then they'd give these away for free. You'd have this little lanyard that you could put your Glencairn in, and you didn't have to worry about it. That, I thought, was excellent advertising, because I had people who even thought that I was representing Three Chord when they saw that. And then those who knew what it was, they went to Three Chord and tried their whiskeys in order to get one of those. So great advertising. Hats off to you, Three Chord, for having that advertising. But there's people giving away little trinkets like that, so little fun stuff like that. Then there's panels. So like there's like not like a wall panel, because I said panel and I gestured with my hands, but there's a stage and they have like discussion panels on it. And I'll be honest, I didn't watch many of these, but also being there as media, I had to be creating content. So I missed some of this. But there are like these little info sessions, discussions, important people in the industry who you want to hear from, they're there and they're talking about things. And so you can go watch and then you can learn a little bit about whatever it is that they're teaching about, which is really cool. I believe there was one about the role of social media in the whiskey culture, if I'm not mistaken, and like what we're seeing, trends that we're seeing, what's going on. So a few different things, and they're happening almost all day. It'll be like a live panel, then live music, then a live panel. Like there's all these, you know, different things happening on that main stage. So that's going on. And of course, live music spread throughout multiple different stages with live music, some of which I thought was pretty good. There was one guy there. I don't know who it was. I'm sorry that I don't know who you were, but there's a guy there doing country music and he was doing a great job. I really enjoyed it. And then right when I was leaving, there was a guy there singing Lady May by Tyler Childers. So there was really good live music. I guess what I'm getting at is it all culminates to set this pretty nice vibe, this nice calm, fun environment to walk around and to try whiskeys. There was also like a cocktail bar area. I think you had to pay for the cocktails, but I'll be honest, I didn't get any of them because as I mentioned, I'm not drinking aside from whiskey reviews. So I didn't get any of those cocktails. The closest thing to a quote unquote cocktail that I got was a slushy that they have in the Barrel Craft Spirits whiskey tent. And it's because everybody's like, you have to try the slushy. It's the best thing in the entire world. I'm like, well, that's kind of a whiskey tasting if it's supposed to be so amazing. Tried it. It was really amazing. What I'm saying is all of this amounts to a really nice vibe, really cool things going on, and all of the benefits that I mentioned previously. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention there was a cigar lounge there. So it was like, it wasn't like a closed-in cigar lounge, but they called it the cigar lounge. And there was like these couches, and you could go up, buy a cigar, have a cigar there, hang out, relax. There was cornhole next to the cigar lounge. I think that might have been by Angel's Envy. Like that they put, I think Angel's Envy might have put out the cornhole boards. Cigar lounge that you could relax in. You did have to buy the cigars. And so all kinds of stuff like that. So those are the extra things that you might not think about. And I wanted to include those because, of course, you can go up and you can taste whiskey and talk to distillers. But there's a lot more going on to it that you might not think about that I personally really enjoyed. Then there's something else that I can't stress enough. I didn't do a whole lot of research going into this. So this was a very last minute trip for me. And so I didn't know a lot of this stuff. So maybe I'm saying it and you're like, duh. But especially if you've been there before. But there were very old slash special slash rare bottles at KBF as well, many of which you had the opportunity to buy. So a great example, Heaven Hill had Elijah Craig Toast, Elijah Craig Barrel Proof, Larceny Barrel Proof, and Elijah Craig, I think it was the 18 year for sale, stuff that at least in Ohio you cannot find most of the time. And then there's also rare stuff that you can try. Maybe you can't buy it, but they might give out samples of it. So Penelope was giving out samples of Rio, which I did try and I did enjoy. I didn't get to do a super in-depth tasting because I was actually talking to them about it as I was tasting it. But I liked it. I thought it was good. So Penelope Rio, can't even get your hands near it in Ohio usually, and you were able to try that. There was another one I wanted to mention. E.H. Taylor. The Buffalo Trace tent had E.H. Taylor. It had Eagle Rare. Those are both ones that can be really hard for people to find. Maybe hard for you to even be able to find to try it, like at a bar. A couple more that I hadn't tried at all that aren't just rare, but are expensive. Barrel Craft Spirits had their gold and their gray label bottles out. For those of you who don't know, they do a normal run-of-the-mill label. I'll use Seagrass because it's one of my favorites. There's Seagrass. There's Barrel Seagrass. Then there's Barrel Seagrass Gray Label, which is more rare, older, ideally better, and more expensive. And then there's Gold Label, which is even older, even rarer. I don't know about rare. Even older, even more expensive. Those were all out and available for you to try, for you to just walk up and be like, I want to try Seagrass Gold Label, which I did, and it was fabulous. Thank you for asking. I loved it. I was geeked out over that. So yeah, you can go up, you can try really expensive bottles from some distillers. Some put out their kind of run-of-the-mill stuff, so that's not all distillers. If you're like, I specifically want to try this really rare, expensive bottle from a distiller, it might not be there. Buffalo Trace, I think, at least in my experience, the most rare bottle there was the E.H. Taylor, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't see anything more rare or more sought after than that, I don't think. So some stuff that was rare, some stuff that was just run-of-the-mill, but you get the chance to try some pretty rare stuff. Amongst all the distillers, you're bound to find a rare or inexpensive bottle, and some of those bottles, like I mentioned, they have for sale there that you can buy. They have a price list out. And then, something I didn't know about that makes a ton of sense, a lot of distillers did a single barrel for KBF. So I tried the Penelope Architect KBF single barrel. Really good. And it was a single barrel only for sale at KBF because I'm assuming they sold out. I mean, it's one barrel. That goes really quick. I tried Green River's KBF single barrel. It was delicious as well. There's another one that I tried. Oh, Rabbit Hole. Here's the sad part of the podcast. Rabbit Hole had a single barrel of their Derringer, I believe it was, and I tried it. I tried normal Derringer, and then I tried this single barrel they had for KBF, and then I got into talking with the Rabbit Hole people. They were super nice. I loved talking to them, and I loved this single barrel. I was like, that is so tasty. And then I saw there's a ton of bottles there. I was like, whatever, you know, I'll think on it, walk around the festival some more. By the time I got back, they had sold out. And it's a single barrel, which means there's one barrel of it. So they had sold out, and I was heartbroken. I was like, I should have just done it. My wife was probably happy that I didn't spend more money than I already did. But those KBF single barrels, don't sleep on them. Some distillers, and I got this from other people, I didn't really have one that I was disappointed by, but from other people, they said that some distillers were kind of just throwing a single barrel out there to be like, this is the KBF single barrel, and it wasn't very good. But a lot of the ones that I tried were good. And so, you know, some distillers, they're bringing their A game with that single barrel because it's KBF and they want that good advertisement. So they're putting something out there that's really, really good. So if you do go, I guess my moral of my story is don't sleep on the single barrels. But that's another thing that you pretty much get the chance to try because you're there. So it's just happening there at KBF. And then one other thing I wanted to mention is you get to kind of see upcoming trends. And this was a question in the last Q&A episode that I wanted to make sure I answered. They said, you know, what upcoming trends did you see at KBF? And while I'm sure some of the panels talk about trends, But while distillers aren't straight up being like, this is the trend for 2024 going into 2024, while that's not happening, you see it. You pick up on it. I can name a very specific type of barrel that almost every distiller, not almost every, but so many distillers had a version of there. Maybe you guessed it. You might have guessed toasted because that is still a trend. But what I was going to say was Amberana. It was everywhere. The unique woods, unique barrels in general were there. I think there was another one. I forget what type of wood it was. But there was a bunch of different unique types of woods and barrels there. Different things that you wouldn't typically see. So that's, I think the trend is the things that you wouldn't typically see, like the weird woods is really a trend right now. Amberana is absolutely a trend. Honey barrels were still there a little bit, so honey's definitely there. Toasted barrels, somebody in the Q&A episode asked if I saw toasted stuff as being a trend. And yeah, it was definitely still there. A lot of distillers had toasted stuff. Weird finishes, because we're in this kind of renaissance of different finishes. But in general, I think the most, not as the most talked about, but I guess the one that just stood out to me was the Amberana finish. Toasted finishes were, of course, there, like I mentioned. So you kind of get to sneak peek at what these trends are going to be. And even better, you might see that it's a trend and you get to try it from multiple different distillers with that same ticket to get you in. And so if you're like, Amberana seems like it's going to be a big thing, I should try some, you can try it over at the one time. I think I tried Nulu's. There was like two or three more that I tried. I'm blanking on the distillers right now. But you can try these different ones and decide if that's what you like. So that is definitely a... Oh, I tried Barrels Amberana, of course, as well. And there was another one, I think. But that is a benefit. You can be like, I think this is going to be a trend. Let me see if it's something that I like. Not for free. You paid to get into the festival. But once you're there, for free. Like, let me just go see if it's something that I like or not. Another benefit to being at the festival. So that all brings me to a question that you might have guessed the answer to by now, but I will nonetheless, I will give it a fair shake, and I'm biased because I enjoyed it. Is it worth the money? Is going to the festival worth the money? So let me talk about this, and let me explain my bias. As media, there's an agreement that I'm going to do a certain amount of covering the festival. There's an expectation that, you know, I'm going to be covering the festival, similar to how media go to the White House and they cover White House press conferences, except I'm not in the politics game, I'm in the whiskey game. So I was there as media. So I got into the festival for free. So I'm biased because I only saw positives. However, weekend passes, at least online right now, are showing as $175. In my opinion, it's worth that $175. I was thinking about this a lot because I was thinking about the value, and I'm trying to like think about it for those who listen to the show, those who are wondering. And a flight of whiskey is expensive. A flight of good whiskey might run you $30, $40, $50 depending on what bar you're at. And you could do as many flights of whiskey as you wanted, as many flights as you were able to do without getting completely hammered. You could try them all. So that's a benefit. That's already like a monetary benefit, right? Add in all those other things that I mentioned too. Add in talking with the distillers, the drawings, the vibe, the live music, all that cool hangout type stuff. That drives up the price. That drives up the price more so for me. Add in the fact that you could buy rare bottles. That drives up the price a little bit more for me. Add in the fact that you're drinking expensive whiskeys, some of which were very expensive. That continually adds value to this for me. And then a thing that a lot of people don't think about, sure, you can buy a flight at a nice restaurant or a nice bar. The selection. I mean, the selection is unmatched at KBF. You had, I think there were over 50 brands there, many of which, I don't know if I saw any brands with less than 4 bottles there. Some of which had a ton of different types of bottles there. Your selection was huge. You got to try so many different things. Selection adds value to it because you could do a flight at your local restaurant. Maybe they wouldn't have anything that you haven't had before. I can almost guarantee you there's stuff here that you haven't had before. I mean, there was so much there that I haven't had before. So to me, that adds value as well. And they are not paying me. I want to be abundantly clear. They aren't paying me. It's not a condition of my tickets. It's none of that, that I give them a good review. It's only the expectation that I talk about it. So I can give a bad review. I have the freedom to do that. I would give it a bad review if I thought it deserved a bad review, but I really enjoyed it. So for me, all those different things, add in the fact that you get to talk to the distillers, add in the fact that you get to ask questions about the whiskey, asking those questions to people who are there to represent the whiskey, and they know so much about it. And some brands were really good at this, some brands were less good, whatever. Add that in. To me, it's worth a lot of value. I look at it this way. I did a tasting of the Weller lineup. I want to say it was $100. It was 5 different glasses of Weller, probably half-ounce pours, you know, small pours. And it was $100, I believe. And part of what was so awesome about it is there's a rep there to walk you through it and teach you about it. Of course, Weller is pretty rare too. But you get basically all that with KBF as well. You get access to rare bottles. You get to try things that you wouldn't be able to try other places. And you get reps to walk you through the tasting of it. So for me personally, who got to geek out, who got to have fun, who likes to learn about all this type of stuff, it was well worth the money. I can't think of a lot of negatives. If you're not into whiskey, I think the biggest negative, this is what I will say, the biggest negative is that you might have to pay twice the price for the same amount of whiskey. What do I mean? The guys who are married know what I mean. If I were going on my own dime, I'd probably want to bring my wife with me. And she might try 3 whiskeys and she'd probably dislike all 3. She'd probably be adventurous enough to try some of them. But I shouldn't just say wife, because there are plenty of women who listen to the podcast and maybe your husband doesn't like whiskey. But if your partner, your spouse, does not like whiskey, that's going to lower that value a little bit, because that's what the whole festival's about. I mean, it's about bourbon. It's about whiskey. That's what it's about. So that makes it tougher. And I can't say if I would go on my own dime with my wife. That'd be really hard to decide. I mean, maybe I would end up doing something like a 1-day pass and go to Kentucky and my wife can come to other stuff with me. And then I would go for 1 day to the festival so that I could try stuff. In general, please make your own decisions based on what I've told you. But especially in that case, that's where I'm like, I'll leave that up to you guys. I still might do it. I don't know if I was in that situation. But that adds some complexity to it. Other downsides, I mean, not really a downside, but you had to go outside to food trucks to get the food. I can't speak to how good the food was, but usually food truck food's really good in my opinion. So that's the style of food there. It was portable restrooms. So what I would call a porta potty. That's like the word that I think most people use. That's the type of restroom that there was there, but they did have the little hand washing stations out in front of those. But for what you're getting, for what you're looking for, if you are a whiskey geek like me, and if you're listening to this show, I'm assuming to some extent you are, I personally thought it was worth it. God willing, I will go again next year. I very much enjoyed it. That is just my opinion. Please take all the things that I mentioned, decide if they're worth that to you, because to some people they will be and to some people they won't. Even if you are a whiskey geek, maybe it's not worth it to you, and that's totally okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just wanted to give my way more than 2 cents, my 45 minutes worth of opinion about KBF, because I got to go and I know a lot of people want to know, is it worth it? Is it worth it? You decide for yourself. To me, it was worth it, but that was the experience that I had at KBF. I'm sure I'm going to think of things that I forgot to say or that I missed. So if you guys have any questions about it, if you have any specific questions you want to know about KBF, feel free to submit them Every Wednesday, I do my Q&A on my Instagram story. So whiskey_noobs on Instagram. You can click on my story. You can submit a question. You can submit them through there. You can email me. You can DM me. DMs are really hard. It's hard for me to get through all my DMs, but I try my best. You can ask me through Patreon. Patrons, I'm able to get to those DMs. So, you know, it limits the amount of DMs that I have to get to. So a lot of those DMs I respond to. The question sticker, of course. Let me know what questions you have. I'm sure that I missed stuff, and I want to fully cover this for everybody. But I wanted to recount my experience because I know if I was listening that I would want to know the details. I'd want to know the nitty-gritty. And you can see some of those videos on my page already. There's another video I'm about to post this afternoon or this evening. I can't think of any more videos. I might come out with more videos from it. I just took a ton of footage, so we'll see. But that was my experience at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, guys. So if you've been there, let me know your opinion. If you have more questions, let me know what those questions are. I'd be happy to answer them. That's probably every combination of words I could possibly say about the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. So thank you all for listening. I will leave you guys with learn to drink, drink to learn. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Whiskey Noobs. If you need more Whiskey Noobs content in your life, make sure you check out our Patreon page in the show notes. And if you like the show, please make sure to leave a 5-star rating or review. It only takes a couple of minutes, and they're way more helpful than people realize. If you want to do tastings alongside the show, make sure you join the email list by sending an email to whiskeynoobspodcast@gmail.com with a subject line that says email list. You'll receive monthly emails with a list of the whiskeys that will be featured throughout the month so that you can buy them ahead of time. You can also find more Whiskey Noobs content on Instagram @whiskey_noobs and on TikTok @whiskeynoobspodcast. Once again, thank you guys for listening. The Whiskey Noobs podcast does not support underage or otherwise irresponsible consumption of alcohol.